Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, of this afternoon, why, our guest is William H. Kennedy, and he's written several books. We, in the past, have carried his book, Lucifer's Lodge. We no longer have that, and I think it's coming out in another edition anyway, but right now we're featuring his new book, Satanic Crimes. And, of course, people sort of shrug their shoulders when we talk about satanic crimes. They think that's something you hear on television. What you do not understand is this involves some of the most powerful people in America today and in Europe today. And after you've read his book, I think you'll be convinced of that as well. And when we see, the leaders of our country going to meetings where people are wearing black hoods and black capes and gowns and having candles and strange pagan chants and feigned human sacrifices like at the Bohemian Grove, and when, of course, we have people kneeling before a replica of Lucifer, as they do with the Skull and Bone Society, and when we have massive pedophilia involvement and the kidnapping and abuse of children, as they do with certain members and key members of the Bilderberger Organization in Europe, and 350,000 Belgians, of course, march, all most of them dressed in white, and everybody in Europe knows about the pedophiles and the Bilderbergers, which Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller and their confreres belong to. Incidentally, I believe they picked John Edwards to become the Democratic nominee for the president. But, when the 350,000, Europeans march, and not one word of it in the media here in the United States, you understand the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. William Kennedy, thanks very much for being with us again.
Thank you for having me back on, Dr. Stan. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I think your book is important. I wouldn't have you back on otherwise. But this is a must-read for every one of our listeners. So why don't you pick up the story? How was it that you got involved in this sort of a study? Because I've been at this for 44 years. You're sort of a newcomer to this, but you've been aware for some time that there's something going on that you didn't quite understand. What finally motivated you to undertake this study?
Well, that relates to my first book that you mentioned, Lucifer's Lodge, and I'm currently working on a documentary film for Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church.
Now, I should point out, you are a Catholic, aren't you?
I am a lifelong Roman Catholic. Okay. I graduated from the Immaculate Conception Grammar School and the Newman School in Boston. So I'm as Catholic can be. So don't anyone think this is Catholic bashing, because I am one. And what happened was about 10 years ago in 1996, I met with Father Malachi Martin in New York City to get some biographical information from him for a project I was working on, and he said something quite stunning to me. He said that Cardinal Bernard Law of Boston was running a pedophile ring, and some of these pedophiles were Satanists, and that's what I wrote about in Lucifer's Lodge.
And, of course, that just certainly came up as quite a shock. I mean, pedophiles in the Catholic priesthood? Satanists in the Catholic priesthood, and yet, of course, this is the sort of thing that Malachi Martin talks about in his interviews with me and certainly his book, Windswept House, about the satanic sacrifice, a feigned sacrifice, satanic ceremony held in the basement of the Vatican, and how Pope Paul VI had said the smoke of Satan is circulating above the Vatican. Understand, they're in all of our religious organizations, not just the Catholic Church. They're in the Protestant church, too, and you better understand what's really going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is William H. Kennedy, and William has written a fascinating book, which we are carrying. It's called Satanic Crimes. And he is a Catholic. He's coming from a Catholic perspective, but he was telling us that he had certainly become concerned about what was going on when in 1996 he met a Jesuit priest named Father Malachi Martin, who I had the privilege of knowing and interviewing a number of times as well, and whose career I'd followed since about 1980 when I read Father Martin's book entitled The Hostage to the Devil. And that's a whole different story. But anyway, Malachi Martin told him about actually not only pedophilia within the Catholic Church, but frank Satanism. So you pick up the story there, William.
Well, what had happened was at the time I was highly skeptical. At that point, that was like saying that Cardinal Law was seen flying in a UFO. I thought it was just a highly eccentric idea, and I scoffed at it. Now, I kept in touch with Father Martin over the last three or four years of his life, and he died in 1999, and just to fast forward, in 2002, the Boston Globe broke a story that Cardinal Law was, in fact, running a pedophile ring. Now, what I did over the next year and a half is I just collected newspaper articles from the Boston Globe and Irish Times and Boston Herald about any of these cases that came out where ritual abuse was involved. And there were a bunch of them I cover. The case of Father Sean Fortune in Ireland, who used to threaten his detractors with satanic hexes. And he took children to a haunted house that had a devil's room where he would sexually abuse children. There was the case of Gerald Robinson. He was just sent to prison in Cleveland, Ohio. He ritually murdered a nun and was also involved in sexually abusing children in satanic ceremonies in a coffin. There's a variety of stories like that I covered in Lucifer's Lodge. Now, it had a short run at an academic press. It was Sophia Perennis Press, and academic runs don't go long. But I am revising the book, Lucifer's Lodge, as I work on the documentary, and that will be out probably in a couple months. And I'm going to update the cases, and I'm also going to write a new introduction and have an appendix.
And that's coming. And of course, you know, there were so many of the cardinals here in the United States that were protecting these pedophiles, and they knew what was going on.
It's unbelievable. Just look at Massachusetts, Dr. Stan. Cardinal Bernard Law, which everyone knows about, had to resign because he was protecting...
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William Kennedy was just talking about how extensive the pedophilia within the priesthood in the United States was, and how, certainly in Massachusetts, why Cardinal Bernard Law was forced to resign when it became obvious he was actively and knowingly protecting pedophiles. And why would he do that? I mean, they're raping the souls of the children. Many of these children will never grow up to be normal sexually because of what was done to them, and yet this was being allowed and indeed encouraged by people at key positions within the hierarchy of the church. And you have to ask yourself, why is this happening? You pick the story up there, William.
Oh, well, sure. Not only did Cardinal Law have to resign, but Bishop Thomas Dupree, who was the Bishop of Springfield, Massachusetts, he had to resign because he himself was sexually abusing children. And what happened there is he came out with a statement when the Catholic Church came out with an anti-gay, anti-homosexual statement. He read it from his church, and boys came forward who he had abused many years ago and said he was a pervert, and he was forced to resign. So many of these bishops and cardinals are themselves abusers. Archbishop John Ward of Cardiff in Wales had to resign in 1999. This is another story that got covered up because he was accused of raping a six-year-old girl and protecting other pedophiles. So, I mean, not only do they protect pedophiles in many cases, not in all cases, but in many cases, the pedophiles themselves become bishops and cardinals within the Church of Rome.
And I think what people have to understand is that there's a spiritual component to these aberrant forms of sexuality. And until you understand that really are truly demonic forces at work in our society, none of this really makes sense. I mean, what is this compulsion? Oh, well, it's just a sexual addiction. No, it is not. These people, I believe, are spiritually possessed and are driven to these terrible, terrible acts and destroying the children and raping their souls. So, go ahead.
Well, from there, Lucifer's Lodge, as I said, it had a short run and it is coming back. Now, as a follow-up book, now I should say I've always been interested somewhat in the subject of Satanism. My academic background's in religious studies and philosophy, and I had read the Satanic Bible when I was in high school. I found it quite laughable at the time. I thought it was very sophomoric then. It didn't impress me very much. I kind of laughed at it. I always had an interest in it.
That was Anton LaVey, of course.
That was Anton LaVey, who I cover in the book I wrote after Lucifer's Lodge, which is the one you're selling now, Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium. Now, the first chapter of the book is called A Brief History of Modern Satanism, and I cover all the major Satanist leaders from Aleister Crowley to Anton LaVey, Kenneth Anger, Robert Morda Grimston of the Process Church of the Final Judgment, Michael Aquino of the Temple of Set, Shane Bugbee, Boyd Rice, Michael Moynihan. I cover all the major Satanist leaders that are in the world today in the first chapter and tell what they're doing. The remaining 11 chapters are case studies of Satanists who were also serial killers. These are people who were arrested, convicted, and sent to prison for murder, and part of the evidence against them in courts of law was that they were also practicing Satanists.
Well, of course, that never came out with David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Keller. I mean, in fact, everything was done to conceal that from the public. And even the press, pardon me, even the authorities there in New York, even though that some of them knew that he was part of a satanic cult and that many of the murderers in this cult had never been apprehended, that information was suppressed and they never went tried to get them, although there were a few of the people in the law enforcement who recognized that, of course, this was part of a satanic cult, and, of course, they wanted to do something and they were hamstrung at every turn.
Oh, it's unbelievable with the Berkowitz case. I have a whole chapter on him. He was the son of Sam Shooter, who went on a spree in 1976 and 1977. Now, I should also say I have a free Satanic Crime multimedia page, which people can get to at williamhkennedy.com, williamhkennedy.com. And there they can see a film clip I just put up about David Berkowitz featuring Maury Terry. It is the Unsolved Mysteries episode centering on Maury Terry and the Son of Sam case. Maury Terry wrote a book about this called The Ultimate Evil, but people can watch that for free and they'll see that most of the sketches that were given of Berkowitz to the police don't look like Berkowitz at all. It looks like two or three different people.
That's because it was two or three different people.
Because Berkowitz himself has said that it was two or three different people. He said that about 10 years ago. And now he doesn't really like to talk about the Son of Sam's killings anymore. He started a prison ministry, and he collects food for underprivileged people in New York, which I guess I can't condemn that. That's all right.
Well, I think that's so important. Really, this is a fascinating book. William has done a great job. Now, of course, I've read Maury Torrey's book, The Ultimate Evil, but it's such a big book, and, you know, big books scare people. This is not a large book, but it got a great deal of information in it, and it's easy reading, and you'll just get the source material. And then, if you want to go to some of the other books, fine. But you have to understand that Son of Sam Keller, David Berkowitz, was tied into something called the Church, the Process Church of the Final Judgment. Most Americans have never heard of it. But it had branches all across America, and this was one of the branches. And what was the relationship between that and the Manson killings?
Well, the Process Church of the Final Judgment, Berkowitz was in a spin-off group of that called the Children. The Process Church of the Final Judgment was started in the early 60s by two Scientologists, Robert and Mary Ann de Grimston. And what they did was they started a satanic cult and started to recruit very rich people like Mick Jagger and Miriam Faithfull and people that could give this money. And they started this worldwide satanic movement. And they had a house, a church in San Francisco, which was a few doors down from Charles Manson. And Charles Manson actually wrote an article for a Process magazine that they used to hand out in Haight-Ashbury. And when Manson was arrested, two Process church members visited him in prison. Now, Manson reflected the theology of the Process Church of the Final Judgment in that people worship other people as being personifications of Jesus and Satan at the same time. And that's what Robert Moore de Grimston did. He had people worship him like that, as did Charles Manson in his cult. So the theology of the Process Church, its satanic teachings, would certainly influence Manson's helter-skelter philosophy to a great degree.
And certainly one of the more prominent mass murders of our time. And then, what about, was it Richard Rodriguez?
Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Now, Richard Ramirez was from Texas. He went on a killing spree in the mid-80s in Los Angeles and San Francisco, not from far from where you are, Dr. Stan. And he, before he went on his killing spree, he attended a week of rituals at Anton LaVey's Church of Satan in San Francisco, and he had also attended a couple of other satanic cults. Now, he got a lot of ideological pump-up from going to these demonic invocation ceremonies and black masses with Anton LaVey and Zena LaVey, Anton's daughter. And it wasn't long after that week of this kind of satanic boot camp that he went on his bizarre killing spree in Los Angeles and San Francisco. And he was finally apprehended and arrested in 1986. He's doing life in prison. He's on death row in San Quentin. And he's still a Satanist. Now, some crazy groupie actually married him, and they got married in prison, and he refused to wear a gold ring because that's the color, the medal of the Christian God, and he is a Satanist. So that's where Anton LaVey got him. And Zena LaVey actually showed up to Richard Ramirez's trial to see what he said, I guess. So he had strong links to the Church of Satan. Now, there is one other serial killer people don't know about who was attached to the Church of Satan, and that's a man named Tom Creech, who was a member, he was a founding member of the Church of Satan, and he attended rituals for almost the first year of the Church of Satan. This is in 1966. In 1975, he was arrested in Indianapolis for the murder of two brothers, and he confessed to the police that he was part of a major satanic movement that butchered people as part of a ritual. The police ignored his evidence and just put him in prison, and they never investigated what he had to say. So, you know, just Anton LaVey alone has spun off a lot of bizarre serial killers.
And of course, now what was the relationship between Aleister Crowley, of course, who formed the OTO, who was a 33rd degree Mason for about 12 years before he was asked to go to the higher levels of Masonry? What was his relationship to Anton LaVey?
Oh, now he's the grandfather of modern Satanism. All these different things I talked about, like the Church of Satan and Scientology, all actually originate from Aleister Crowley. L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, was a disciple of Aleister Crowley in San Francisco. Now, Crowley died in 1947. He was 72 years old. But during his life, what he had done, he had one of the organizations he was in was called the Ordo Templi Orientis, which was a satanic sex magic group that used drugs and ritual sex to have, I call it diabolical mysticism, where they merge with demons and such things. Now, he had this OTO group, which he started one branch in Berkeley and another branch in Southern California. Now, in 1947, Anton LaVey used to attend the OTO temple in Berkeley, California with Kenneth Anger, and that's how they really spun off from the Church of Satan.
And these things are not imaginary. They're real. They do worship Satan. They carry out his directives. And until we understand that this is simply not, you know, limited to the few people we're talking about people belonging to secret satanic societies at the highest levels of our government, plunging us from war to war, from revolution to revolution, from a really terrible, terribly satanic things going on in the world today that most people have no glimpse of at all. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Kennedy. And William, why don't you go ahead and tell us perhaps a little bit about some of the major organizations, these powerful organizations made up of powerful men who worship a different God.
Oh, right. That is actually the final chapter of Satanic Crime. I call it Raising Hell. And this deals with the three major satanic organizations that major world leaders belong to. They are the Skull and Bones, the Bohemian Grove, and the Bilderberg Group. Now, these are interlocking organizations. A lot of times members have membership in three of them or two of them or at least one of them if they're people in power. Now, the Skull and Bones was a fraternity at Yale founded in 1832, and as part of their initiation ritual, they kneel before three figures. One is dressed as Lucifer, one is dressed as the Pope with his foot on a skull, and one is dressed as a black knight. They take their final vow to this kind of infernal trinity, and they vow to support each other in life and other members above everything else. Now, these are major people have kneeled before the devil like this. That includes both President Bush's, John Kerry, William F. Buckley, David McCullough, Fred Smith, the founder of Federal Express, who is now the biggest package delivery service in communist China, huge captains of industry, Avril Harriman, the famous diplomat, Stimson, who was the Secretary of War, McGeorge Bundy, every major player in world politics and policymaking has been a Skull and Bonesman. This is covered in Robert De Niro's film, The Good Shepherd, which shows that the CIA is actually a Skull and Bones spinoff organization. That's really all it works to function as. And major world leaders belong to that group. Now, the next group I cover is called the Bohemian Grove, which is out in California, headquartered in San Francisco, and they have a summer camp in Northern California. And this is a lot of the same people, like President Bush belongs, but there are also non-Skull and Bonesmen there, like Walter Cronkite and Art Linkletter and Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, the problem I have with this group and why I think it's satanic is that every year they have a summer camp there, and their opening ceremony, they perform a bizarre mock human sacrifice in front of a giant owl god, and they all wear Ku Klux Klan type regalia, and I'm talking people like Karl Rove. You know, it's amazing the members who have of the Bohemian Grove, major captains of industry as well. And they do this mock sacrifice, and they burn care. They call this human care. And what they're dealing with is they're destroying their care or compassion for other human beings and bonding with each other with the common goal of controlling the world economy. That is their ultimate life's work, is to bond together to control policy and economics and everything. And they do so under this, bizarre owl god. Now, the third group I cover in Satanic Crime is the Bilderberg Group, and that was founded in the 1950s by European nobles who invited American rich industrialists over. And they have a yearly secret meeting, and I mean, people like Bill Clinton have gone to this, and he became president. Tony Blair went to a Bilderberg meeting, and he was made Prime Minister of England. Now, it's quite amazing that I tied the Bilderbergers into the serial killer Marc Dutroux, who's currently in prison in Belgium. He was arrested in 1996. This is the White March you were talking about earlier. He was sent to prison, and it found out he was kidnapping young girls.
Hold that thought, Mercer. Sure. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Very good.
Well, William Kennedy was talking about the last chapter of his book, where he talks about, of course, these organizations who control the upper echelons of our government. He talks about the Skull and Bones Society and the fact that their initiation, they kneel before this one figure, a horn figure who represents Lucifer, a figure that represents the Pope with his foot on his skull. And then, of course, there's somebody else probably representing the Antichrist. So you have really an unholy trinity. You see, so much of the occult is a mirror image of Christianity. The people within the occult believe in the Bible. They just have a different interpretation of it. They believe that their God, who is Lucifer, is the good God, and the God we worship is the bad God, because he puts all the limitations on us and he allows evil in the world. and how could a good God allow evil? So we worship the bad God and they worship the good God. As incredible as it may seem, this is the underlying theme of the Skull and Bones. And you actually have some pictures there of the initiation, don't you? Video pictures of her.
Oh yeah, I have that at the on the Satanic Crime Multimedia page, which people can see at williamhkennedy.com. If they scroll down to the Skull and Bones section, they will find I have a film. Someone went to a building and filmed part of a ritual that they have in a courtyard, which is behind their headquarters, which is called the Tombs, that is at Yale's campus in New Haven. And they filmed part of it. Now, in this film, the Lucifer figure is forcing an initiate to perform what looks like a mock human sacrifice. And it's a the candidate is nude. It's very strange. It's not a very long clip, but it is definitely a mock human sacrifice. I've seen it, you know, over and over again. I also have a clip, a fellow hopped the wall with a camera and filmed for a few minutes. And what they also have in that courtyard is they have what looks like a fountain, which is against one of the walls. And it is a stone fountain with two skeleton figures staring at each other holding a skull. And another fellow who had gone in there said he looked at that and it looked like there was dried blood in the tub part of this fountain type thing. And they also had some sort of divination device there. It looked it said destiny, and it was like a wheel of fortune type thing, like a spinning wheel, and it said destiny on it. So they're in a very creepy occultic type things in there.
Now, most college fraternities, I mean, you join them, you go through all these foolish oaths, and that's the end of it. But that's not as it is with Skull and Bones. You join for life, and nobody ever comes forward and really tells the truth. If anything they do tell you is couch to confuse you, and when both John Kerry and George W. Bush were asked by Tim Russert during the last election cycle, because both of them came from Skull and Bones, both were asked what Skull and Bones was about. Both of them gave the same reply: oh, it's so secret, we can't discuss it. So where is their loyalty? Is it to America, or is it to the secret society that they embraced and still embrace and its ultimate goal? And of course, William was saying that they really, of course, more or less dominate the CIA with all of its, of course, drug smuggling and other things that are involved. In fact, there are always key people in the CIA who come from Skull and Bones with the unlimited resources the CIA has from black operations and from drug smuggling. They can use this, of course, to remake the world, which is the ultimate goal of all the Luciferian organizations, a new world order and a new world religion.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Stan, it's quite stunning when you consider that the positions of power these people have is mind-boggling. These are not just secondary people. I mean, even in the Clinton administration, John Shattuck was the Undersecretary of State. Now he heads up the JFK Library in Boston. When you consider that Fred Smith, the founder of Federal Express, is a Skull and Bonesman, and he is on the board of the Cato Institute, which is allegedly a libertarian kind of conservative organization. It doesn't mean anything if Fred Smith's on their board.
But of course, these people control the banking interests of the world. They control the educational establishment and many of our great tax-exempt foundations. They are the ones who get us involved in war after war after war, whether Henry Stimson, member of Skull and Bones, or his good friend who getting us involved in the Second World War, or certainly his good friend McGeorge Bundy, and National Security Advisor to the President, who got us involved in certainly in Vietnam, and the phony Gulf of Tonkin incident that didn't occur. And then, of course, why we find George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, getting involved in the first Gulf War, and George W. Bush getting involved in the second Gulf War. These people relish wars. Wars are very effective means of changing society, and they bring carnage and horror and death. And of course, you must understand there are people who worship a different God that embraces those things. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is William H. Kennedy, and he's written a great book, which we do carry, entitled Satanic Crimes. And it takes you into the background of these macabre organizations that work at the highest levels of our government. And so the book talks about the Skull and Bone Society. It talks about the Bohemian Grove, and then it talks about the Bilderbergers. I'm going to let you develop that idea. What is the Bilderbergers? Why should we be concerned about it?
Well, the Bilderberg Group, as I said earlier, was founded in the 1950s, and they were tied in with Mark Dutroux, a serial killer. Now, at the serial killer's trial, the judge, Judge Connor Rowe, came forward. This was in 1996. And he asked anyone who was abused by Dutroux to come forward and testify. Now, 10 women and a couple of men came forward, and these people said that they were taken to sex rituals by Dutroux, where there were high-ranking members of the British, Belgian aristocracy who were sexually abusing children in rituals. Now, two names came out. Albert II, the King of Belgium himself, and a high-ranking Belgian official named Elio De Rupo, who was a major figure in the European Union. He's a liberal. He's openly gay. He's kind of the Barney Frank of the European Union. And he was outed in this. Now, what happened was Judge Connor Rowe attended a dinner held by the parents of the victims. They were going to raise some money and hire some private detectives to track down Dutroux's victims and see if they could track down some of the perpetrators. Now, he went to a dinner they had, and he did not contribute to their fund, but he did have dinner with them. He had an entree and a dessert, and this was seen as a gratuity by the government of Belgium. They removed him from the case. They squashed all the testimonies of these women and guys that came forward, and they passed the investigation over to a parliamentary investigation, which basically squashed the whole thing, and no one got in trouble, and the women were denounced as just being frauds. Now, that is what sparked the White March you talked about earlier, October of 1996. 350,000 Belgians marched in downtown Brussels, all dressed in white, to complain about this atrocity of Judge Connor Rowe being removed and these high-ranking, you know, members of their aristocracy being allowed to go free because, you know, it was just a huge cover-up.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Kennedy. And, William, are you still there? All right, fine. Well, I want you to get out your webpage. Now, we do carry William's book, but I want you to get his webpage, and I want you to go onto that webpage, and you'll find motion pictures of so much that we've talked about. You'll see the motion pictures of the ceremony there at the Bohemian Grove, where the leaders of our nation are wearing their black hoods and their black gowns, holding their candles and the strange chants and the feigned human sacrifice before the owl that they worship. And if you doubt that they worship it, we were able to liberate, let's put it that way, a set of books published by the Bohemian Grove. And we'll send you the front pages where they just talk about how they worship the owl. What does the owl represent? Evil. This is the god of Moloch. Go ahead. Would you like to tell our listeners about your webpage and what they're going to find there?
Sure. Well, they can go to williamhkennedy.com, williamhkennedy.com, and what they will find is I have three free pages up. One is called the Satanic Crime Multimedia page. One is called the Witchcraft and Crime Multimedia page. And the third one is called the Crowley's Cult Multimedia page. I'll get that elocution down. Don't worry, Doc. And what I've done is I've gone to all the places on the web like YouTube and Google Video and Xenu TV, and I pulled together all the documentary films and also audio clips on all of these case studies I talked about. So if you read the part about Aleister Crowley in my book, you can then go to the Satanic Crime Multimedia page and watch a one-hour documentary made by Channel 4 in Great Britain on Crowley, hosted by Colin Wilson, who's a famous occult scholar. If you read a chapter on Manson, you can then go watch a documentary on the Manson killings hosted by Mike Wallace. If you go, you know, right down the line, if you read the Richard Ramirez chapter, then you can watch, go to the multimedia page and watch an A&E documentary hosted by Philip Carlo on Richard Ramirez, The Night Stalker. So I find that this kind of synergy of using both a book that is kind of pithy and to the point, and I don't waste a lot of time, I give solid information in a reader-friendly fashion, that combined with watching a documentary film is the best way to educate people. You know, you're using all your senses, and if you really want to grasp this subject, I've designed it in such a way that for maximum absorption of facts. You know, if you read that Crowley section and watch that film, you will be very knowledgeable about Crowley, and you could discuss Crowley with someone who wrote a book on Crowley if you wanted. So I will give you this information, and this is to educate and inform the general public so they can educate and inform others, and that's really my goal. You won't find a resource on Satanism anywhere like this on the web or in any bookstore. My system is kind of unique. You know, you get a whole resource, not just a book or not just a movie. You get this whole very, very good way of learning. Now, on the multimedia page, you can even go deeper. I have Michael Aquino's 400-page History of the Church of Satan in PDF that you can click on, and you can read the whole 400 pages if you like. I have Anthony Sutton's book on the Skull and Bones, America's Secret Establishment, in PDF. So you can click on that if you want to get into even more details. I also have full-length books on the multimedia page. And I really encourage people, at least take a look at the free material, because it's worthwhile in and of itself. But the book is really the icing on the cake if you want a full and solid grasp of contemporary Satanism.
And I think it's so important that people understand what we're up against. People think we're fighting a political battle. They think we're fighting a cultural battle. They think, but we're really fighting a spiritual battle, and there really is organized evil at the highest levels of our government. Certainly Richard Nixon went to these meetings, and the tapes, the Richard Nixon tapes, you know, out of the, recorded in white in the Oval Office. I mean, he went there because he wanted to rub shoulders with these people, but he didn't like them. He called them a bunch of fags. These are the leaders of the country. And, of course, was very derogatory towards them. But he went, as I'm sure many of the presidents have gone, because this is where the power elite meet. And many times they run around naked. There's sexual excesses there that, well, of course, we have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, and one of our people who talks about it is a woman who was set there as a sex slave by the CIA to compromise these men so they could then be controlled by the CIA. And this is how, of course, they're able to get the congressmen and the senators and, yes, even the presidents many times, to do what they're told to do for fear of exposure. But here, can you imagine the leaders of our country, the major industrialists, the people who control the media, and the reason you seldom read about it in the media is because the people who control the media are all there. And, of course, they're running around naked in the woods. Isn't that nice? How could you be so depraved? Well, because this is what really goes on behind the scenes, behind all the nice smiles, and behind all the things we see on television that makes you think everything is proper, is this organized evil at the highest levels of our government. And if you'd like to realize that these people really do worship the owl, we'd be glad to send you the pages from their publication, which we have, or certainly we encourage you to go to William Kennedy's excellent website, where you're going to get the information. This is something you can't ignore. You have to understand who the enemy is, and then ask, why are we being told this? By our political leaders, by our conservative leaders, by our religious leaders. And they don't want to talk about it. Some of them are afraid, and some of them are actually part of this movement. And when the leader of a 30 million member, a National Association of Evangelicals, a man named Ted Haggard, is really a closeted homosexual who is using his position to destroy Christianity. And writing, of course, letters to the United States Senate representing the 30 million member National Association of Evangelicals, telling him to ignore efforts to have prayer in the military and just go ahead and pass the legislation. Forget about it. Christians aren't concerned about prayer or praying in the name of Jesus Christ. This man heads a 30 million member organization of Christians. What's going on in our society, and where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? And of course, it's deafening in its silence. Well, William, as you tell people about this, what sort of response do you get?
Well, the most disturbing thing I find, Dr. Stan, is apathy. You know, anger, if people got angry at me, I could work with anger, but, the don't know, don't care attitude that's promoted on television and in the school systems here has just made people, dulled down. They really don't care one way or the other. And apathy is the devil's greatest ally. And that's a very frightening thing, and that's why I really try and get this material out there and go on a lot of radio programs like this. Just the more people I reach, the better I feel. But it's quite shocking. I wish someone would at least get angry that I was saying this about the president. They don't even get it. They don't care one way or the other, which is very disturbing, and that means the devil is winning, quite frankly. It's a terrible, terrible thing to say, but that's really what the answer to that question.
And, of course, there is a very well-known homosexual, who is spending many, many nights at the White House. We don't know who he's visiting, but he was the man who was exposed, who was posing as a journalist, and who was always allowed to ask questions at the press conferences. And then it turned out, of course, he was simply a homosexual prostitute, spending his nights regularly at the White House. Who is he sleeping with? We have no idea. And believe me, nobody in the White House is going to talk about such things, because after all, we have a Christian administration in Washington, D.C., and that's why the Christians have nothing to worry about. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble, because the leadership of the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church and the Jewish religion have all been infiltrated by these dark spiritual forces. Now, of course, one section of the book deals with the Bilderbergers, and when we were off during the breaks, why, William was telling us about the Bilderberger Group, and of course this is the financial and banking and political leaders of Europe and the United States, and our presidents, our richest people go there. Now ordinarily the president doesn't go when he's in office. He may go before, as Bill Clinton went, and he was picked to be the president. Then of course in the year 2004 John Edwards went. He was picked to run for the vice president with John Kerry, and John Kerry simply did what he was told to do and appointed John Edwards. And right now, of course, as I look at what's going on there at the national level and look at the choice between Hillary and Obama, but remember John Edwards is waiting in the rings. He was actually picked several years ago by the Bilderbergers. Affable, a wonderful smile, wonderful nature about him. Who knows, maybe he will be the Democratic nominee. If he is, it will be not because the American people want him, but because he's been picked by the elite. But certainly, many of the people in Europe were very upset when they found that King Leopold of Belgium was involved in pedophilia, and isn't he a member of the Bilderbergers?
Oh, it's King Albert II, actually.
Albert II, okay.
Right. King Albert II, yes, he came up in an investigation concerning Marc Dutroux, who was a serial killer who was sent to prison in 1996. The judge in the case called for witnesses to come forward, and some women came forward and said that King Albert II had sexually abused them after they were kidnapped by Marc Dutroux himself. So, all of this came out, and it was squashed by the government in Europe. It really was, really bizarre that the government of Belgium was able to just stifle this without any major international public outcry. There was outcry, the White March, which was the largest protest in history against a government, and it was hardly covered over here. But outside of Belgium, there really wasn't too much talk about what was going on there or the things that were going. Now, I will even go as far right now. I will give the name of a victim of a Bilderberg sacrifice. Her name was Christine Van Hess, and her body was found in 1985. One of the women who came forward by the last name of Luth said that she was at one of these, after she was kidnapped by Dutroux, she was taken to one of these rituals, and a girl named Chrissy was murdered. This was back in the mid-80s. Now, that corresponds to the body they found of Christine Van Hess in Belgium, and this has reinvestigated the, they are now reinvestigating the murder based on this testimony. So I have a identifiable dead body and a woman who will testify that they saw this girl murdered by Bilderbergers.
And of course, remember, there was a movie that came out a few years ago. It was called Eyes Wide Shut. And it was the story of this international organization where the people wore their black robes and their hoods. And, of course, these were the richest people in the world. And, of course, it starred Tom Cruise and the man who produced that that motion picture.
Stanley Kubrick, yeah.
What was his name?
Stanley Kubrick.
Stanley
directed
Kubrick.
It.
He died before that movie could ever be shown. Here in America, of course, there was a book written. It was called The Franklin Cover-Up. By a man we've had an opportunity of, John DeCamp, and I've talked to him. He was threatened. His children were threatened. They came into the yard where the children were playing with a car, and they ran over the dog repeatedly and said to the children, you tell your dad this is what's going to happen to you unless you be quiet. Well, John DeCamp was a lawyer, and he wrote the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, about similar pedophile rings right here in Washington, D.C., that goes right up into the White House itself. Are you acquainted with DeCamp's work?
Oh, yeah. I cover the whole DeCamp case, actually, in the chapter on Charles Manson and satanic crime, because a lot of the DeCamp accusations center around Boys Town, which DeCamp himself actually was a member of Boys Town, but he wasn't abused. But Charles Manson had spent time in Boys Town when he was a kid, and I suspect he was sexually abused there. Now, he was physically abused by a Catholic priest on another occasion when he wasn't at Boys Town. So I connect Manson into a lot of the Catholic priest sexual abuse scandal. Now, right before Manson went on his killing spree, he knocked on the door of a rectory next to a Catholic church, and a priest opened the door, and Manson told him he hates priests and that he was Jesus Christ. So Manson had a lifelong hate, I suspect, of a priest who sexually abused him when he was a kid. And I just spin off of that and go into the John DeCamp story about Lawrence King, who was a high-ranking Republican who went to prison for money situations. He run the Franklin Savings Bank, and he was basically a pimp for rich people in Washington, D.C. He had ties to Barney Frank. He arranged a tour of the White House for male prostitutes. They walked right into the Oval Office. Very deranged and bizarre stuff. Now, he went to prison, and he's been released. And Lawrence King now lives in the Washington, D.C. area. I don't want to confuse him with Larry King, the television host. These are two separate people. I just want to make that distinction clear, as you know, to be accurate. But I don't know what Lawrence King is doing these days. But he was identified. You can even watch a film on the Satanic Crime Multimedia page at williamhkennedy.com. It was a British film that was supposed to be showed on the Discovery Channel here, but the night before it was supposed to be shown, the network pulled it off for mysterious circumstances.
Well, I wonder why they would have pulled that off so it couldn't be shown to the American people.
Well, you know, they don't want the American people to know. They tend to put stories of Satanism or abuse on the back burner of coverage. What they want you thinking about is who Paris Hilton is sleeping with this week, or, you know, what Britney Spears is arguing about with her ex-husband, or, you know, what Angelina Jolie was wearing at some Hollywood event. That's what they keep us fixated on, that and professional sports, really. So they deliberately dumb us down. They give us cheap food that's actually horrible for us, that causes our brains to, causes inflammation in the brain, you know, like high fructose corn syrup. So they're really setting us up from as many different directions as they can to control us. And a big part of what they do is they keep the channels of public information like ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. They keep that bottled up and they control the mass distribution of news and information. You know, you'll never see a book of mine like of mine in, you know, distributed in Borders or Barnes and Noble because they just won't carry books like this because it points at their masters who control them.
Amen to that. It occurs the same thing with my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Just go down to your local bookstore and try to order a copy of it through regular channels. That's why we offer William's book and my book here at Radio Liberty. Well, William really has done a wonderful job of getting this information out, and we recommend you go to his website, WilliamHKennedy.com. Is that right?
That's right, WilliamHKennedy.com.
WilliamHKennedy.com. Get the information. Find if it's really true. We're involved in a spiritual battle, a battle for the very life of our nation. Well, William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up today's program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I appreciate your support of my work and coming on Radio Liberty, first off. And I would just like to say I want people to check my sources and check out the information for themselves. At least look at the free material on WilliamHKennedy.com, the Satanic Crime Multimedia page. Take a look at that. Watch some of the films, get thinking about it. You know, if you have teenagers, you especially want to take a look at some of these documentaries. Consider buying my book. It's really my book connects the dots like no other. And just start being aware of the Satanism that is around you. Just go to your Blockbuster video and look at how many satanic images you are hit with at the new release section, which is along their walls, and you will be quite shocked. And I just want people to, at least if nothing else, be aware of the Satanism around you. And I thank you again for having me, Dr. Stan.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people really begin to understand that this is all one ball of wax. We have a massive New Age movement which permeates every aspect of our society. We have alternative religions teaching people how to get in touch with themselves. Even within the Christian church now, we're getting into contemplative prayer, which is really to put ourselves into altered states of consciousness, where, of course, we will be open to demonic possession. Our music, many times, repetitive. We sing the same words over and over and over again to create a hypnotic type of reaction. They know exactly what they're doing. They use the beat of the music because it has a profound effect on our soul. In fact, it was Aristotle, writing 300 years before Christ was born, who said, "Let me control the music, and I can control the society." And it's one thing, of course, when this church, this music is outside the church, but when the devil's own music is in our churches, then we have to ask, what in heaven's name is going on in America today? And I would like to suggest that our enemy is very wise and very clever. He knows exactly what he's doing. And if anybody ever tells you there's no such thing as Christian, music, there's only Christian lyrics, they're lying to you. The music, the beat of the music has a profound impact on our very hearts, our minds, our souls. Lucifer, after all, was a musician, and he knows how to use music to control the souls of men. William H. Kennedy, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always
a
pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
And I'm really looking forward to the new edition of your Lucifer's Lodge, and we'll certainly want to carry that as well as your book entitled Satanic Crimes. It's a real addition to our armamentarium of educational material.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to getting William H. Kennedy's book, Satanic Crimes, as well as the other material that we carry. Certainly we have a four-tape set on Skull and Bones. We have, we have actually the membership list we got from Skull and Bones. We have pages from their own publications talking about the worship of the owl. Why, some of these people are supposed to be Christians. Why do they belong to an organization that worships the owl? If you go into mythology, this is a satanic crime, a satanic sign. After all, this is a 40-foot owl up there in Santa Rosa. And then, of course, we have an excellent video. It's called the dark secrets of the Bohemian Grove. We certainly advocate that people get that information. We have a certainly, I'm sure I mentioned the four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. We have the four-tape set on Skull and Bones. We have the books on Skull and Bones, from some of it from the Skull and Bones themselves, their membership list. We have Alexandra Robbins' book, Secrets of the Tomb. And, of course, so much of what's in the book is what she's learned from people who've been there or have seen these ceremonies. And they're frightening to think that these are the people who are leading and ruling our country today. And then, of course, certainly you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get Malachi Martin's book, Hostage to the Devil. And you need to get my four-tape set of interviews with Malachi Martin that you get at a reduced rate if you buy the Hostage to the Devil. Our four-tape sets on the supernatural, our four-tape sets on Aleister Crowley, certainly our book on Aleister Crowley, Blood on the Altar. So much information is available at Greater Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We carry the DVD of The Rape of the Soul, the story of implants of pornographic art in the Catholic Church. On the missals in every church now, actually, what's happened is they've taken and put stickers on those, on the front page of the missals there. And the cardinal who allowed these things and the Monsignor have been shuttled out of the church. But they're not going to let people understand the satanic influence within the art of the church, much of it going back for many centuries. The Rape of the Soul, an excellent DVD for Catholics, for non-Catholics, and ask yourself how they could cover this up. And then, of course, we hope you want to get the DVDs or videos we carry. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. We've got something called The Sorcerers of Musicians. I think that's the title of it. Anyway, it's put out by our good friend Joe Schimmel. And go to our webpage at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And look at the various items that we have. One of my favorites, as I mentioned earlier, was the they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. You need to have that information, and of course you need to help us get it out. The DVD on Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, getting into the background of the secret societies, let me suggest The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. So we hope that many of you, of course, will get the information we're talking about and then help us inform others. For there truly are demonic and satanic forces at work within our society today, moving us rapidly towards increasing the war in the Middle East. The war over there is not going to end. If you think your boys are coming home anytime soon, why, you really do not understand the long-range plan to plunge the world into another world war that will end America as you and I know it, impoverish our people, and leave many of our cities in rubble. I was in Germany after the Second World War. I saw the rubble of the German cities. I would hate to think of it. I shudder at the thought, the realization that it will come to pass here in America, unless, of course, there's a great revival, and the people of this country are worthy of God's intervention. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.